Just a ricochet effect. Ricochet effect, like ricochet. Having conversation with no moderation. Love to the communities, the ricochet effect. Having conversation with no moderation. Love to the communities, the ricochet effect. Having conversation with no moderation.
Hi, this is Renee Cobb, and
I'm Dr. Obini El Amin, and we are with the Ricochet Effect. Greetings, all. This is Dr. Obini El Amin, and I'm with the Ricochet Effect, and I'm in the studio with an amazing group of leaders. In fact, they are with the New Leaders Council Kentucky, and the objective is to provide inclusive leadership development programming, equipping bright individuals with the skills, network, and confidence they need to champion progress. So who do we have in the studio today?
All right. My name's Noelle Osborne. I use she, her pronouns.
My name is Amy Clay, also she, her pronouns.
My name is Erin Sheena, also she, her pronouns.
And Noelle, tell me, what is it that you do in your 9-to-5 role?
Yeah, so I am the Director of Development for Civic Lex here in Lexington.
Wonderful. And what about you, Amy?
I am an Executive Assistant at the Brown Hotel in Louisville, Kentucky.
Excellent. And Erin?
I am a Financial Analyst at Humana.
Well, wonderful to have all of you. I'm here at WUKY, and we are taking part in the New Leaders Council Civic Supper. And the whole purpose of this program is to help us to be not just better leaders, but also better innovators in the sense of how we discuss some of the most pressing issues in society, along with other leaders. So any one of you can take this question, but can you share a bit about your personal journey and what motivated you to become involved with the New Leaders Council?
Yeah, sure thing. So I have done a couple of other leadership development programs in the past that have been wonderful. But what was missing for me with those programs was just intentional connection in the community, just like building a really close-knit bond with the cohort on a deeper level. And also just I wanted to connect with people who were out in the community that were doing the work, that were boots on the ground, out there making things happen, weren't really caught up in a lot of the kind of just like throwing something on your resume, here I am, let's network. It's more intentional with New Leaders Council Kentucky. So that's what really drew me in.
Yeah, and I can see that. I mean, we have a lot of folks here. We have some political officials, some folks that are in policy and advocacy and lay work, folks that are in industry, as well as nonprofits. And so it's really amazing to see the collaboration and the spirit of the folks in the room. Noelle, stay with me here. But what specific experiences or challenges in your life shaped your commitment to civic engagement and leadership? Because as I always say, every time I see you and I introduce you to someone, I say, this is one of the superwomen of our community here in Central Kentucky. And it is the truth. So what motivates you?
Well, thank you so much. That's so kind of you to say. I just like to be involved. I like to get out there. Dexter, one of the coordinators who's running this event today, just said this actually, where he's just a workhorse. He just wants to be out there and make things happen. I want to see change, and I can't just sit at home and sit on my hands. I got to be out there wanting to be in the community and doing whatever I can. You know, I have to stay busy. I have to have that. So.
Was there something in your formation when you were a young woman or young girl that made you say, you know what, I really want to be involved in civic leadership?
Well, I was just a little nerd. I think it was when I was 10 in the 2000 presidential election. That was my first election where I was starting to like pay attention to what was going on. And of course, you know, when you're 10, your opinions are wild. That was the first one where I was like kind of engaged. And I think ever since then, I just got more and more engaged in civics and love politics, love, you know, understanding how people work and how they run and how politicians or the government or these institutions can actually have a good influence on people's life if done correctly. And a lot of the times it isn't done correctly. And
yes.
So I just want to engage and try to do what I can to better that process.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. So, Amy, mm-hmm. How does the New Leaders Council support emerging leaders in making an impact within their communities from your vantage point?
So I will say NLC has connected me to so many leaders who were already doing amazing work in Louisville and Lexington across the state, really, who I had never heard of, had no clue the work that they were doing. So even just being able to connect them to people who are in different fields, who have different skill sets, allowing them to further meet their goals, basically, in ways that they didn't think were possible with their current network. So just really connecting them to different people is really some of the magic of NLC, and equipping them with skills that they maybe hadn't honed or hadn't looked at before. So fundraising was a big one for me that I had never done before, that was kind of scary as a concept, but I really enjoyed it just through that process. So they do a lot of different, variety of different stuff.
Absolutely. And so today we are here discussing how to make a better argument. And some of the points to consider are taking winning off the table, prioritizing relationships and listen passionately, paying attention to context, embracing vulnerability, making room to transform. And then some of the dimensions for arguing better, there are three listed here, and they are historical context, emotional intelligence, recognizing power, but I want to deepen that. So in terms of historical context, there is a shared history that informs current reality. And if you can, you know, just truly think about it and resolve it in within yourself, and it is that most of the time that we are in discussion, there is an alignment point. And whether we choose to veer from that alignment point, stick to that alignment alignment point, or to agree or even agree to disagree, there is that shared history that informs the present reality. And then how we feel affects how we show up. So that's where that emotional intelligence piece comes in. And then power impacts conversation dynamics. And so we are here honing our skills. And I really will say that many of the folks that are in the room today, their skills are probably already there. But what I love about and civic suppers is that continuous improvement is the norm for this afternoon. So how does social justice play into what we're also talking about today with some of our conversations?
With the historical context, there are just so many ways that we argue that are so toxic, that are so like demoralizing and dehumanizing and take power away from people. And so this whole concept is to like show up, know that you are in your power, know that you will be treated with respect, which some people just don't have in their day-to-day lives. They don't have the option to just argue and feel safe. So that is just a really, it's all tied in together. So it is a good question.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we talked about in the normalizing for the civic supper was not interrupting.
Mm-hmm.
We do that so much in society, and I don't know if that is a technological, social media thing, but I find that more and more people do that. And even when I'm in my personal conversations or even career-bounded conversations, I just personally take a step back because I just don't have the emotional fortitude to fight with others when I am so busy and I have so many goals and objectives for my own life and the lives of others. So I just think that that's a really important point as we talk about leadership and how we're going to ourselves normalize leadership in the work that we do. So how does the NLC ensure diversity and inclusion within its programs and initiatives?
NLC is extremely intentional about, I guess I should back up and give you a little bit more context for our signature program, how a lot of people think of us, and that's through our institute, which is a 6-month-long program. That's the core leadership development program. And we are going all across the state for institute. Every month is a new city. And when we put together these cohorts, we are really intentional about diversity in all the ways, diversity in the sense of geography, race, religion, sexual orientation. We're trying to hit as many things as possible while also still building a cohort that's going to mesh well together and work well together. It's okay that they disagree. It's okay that there are differences, obviously, because that's what we're trying to build. But we're just, there's a lot of intention in how we build each class. And I'm really proud of that NLC collectively across the nation really works hard to build something so special like that. So yeah, we're really intentional about it, bringing everybody to the table.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in 2024, I mean, why not? I mean, it's who we are. It's what policy leaders for many years have known to be. Like, you know, I've literally been in political science and public policy for a number of years, and I can go back and look at census data and policy reports. And what we've known historically is where we are going to be as a nation right here in terms of our diversity, and we're here. And so any kind of program or initiative that doesn't have a DEIB, that is diversity, equity, inclusion, belongingness, and I should also add accessibility bend to it, is just out of pocket and just unfocused on reality. So I coincide with you there and also celebrate the intention of the New Leaders Council. And so then, can you provide some examples of notable successes or projects that NLC alumni have accomplished since being members of the NLC cohorts, whether it's been in the leadership core or what have you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say we are a chapter that's been around for 10 years. We have over 200 alumni. I think the website says 170, but it's really more than that if you go there. And we have notable alumni who have run for office. We have a handful that run nonprofit organizations, just various things. What I'm also really proud of is NLC candidates or fellows are not the traditional, they're not always the traditional data analyst here. We have somebody who works in hospitality. Like, a lot of the people in our cohorts represent a variety of industries, and there are plenty of success stories in all of these different industries. But yeah, as far as like notable projects and everything, everybody, we, part of the Institute program, every fellow has an individual capstone. So there's been a lot of good capstones that have come through the course of the 10 years. And they range from somebody wanting to adopt a child, so like, you know, learning how to go through that process and getting support to do that. And then also just getting recycling in their apartment building. So we've had everything in between those two things. A lot of people have run for office. I'm trying to think of other capstones. Aaron, can you think of any? I think you...
Missy Spears.
Oh, yes. Fridge. Yes, we have an alumni in Northern Kentucky. Her name's a shout-out to Missy Spears. Her capstone was creating a community fridge that just has food in it for anyone to come and take who needs it. I think it also has like a microwave and a whole like station, and it's been a huge success up there in Covington. I think they're trying to open another one. There's some advancements there, but yeah, a lot of great projects from across the state that are in multiple industries. And
what advice would you give to young individuals who are passionate about making a difference but are unsure of where to start?
Well, of course, I'm going to say that they should apply for New Leaders Council Kentucky. But I think something that going through the NLC program helped me realize is that you don't have to do things before you start. You don't have to do things to get ready. Like, the biggest thing that will make an impact is just doing it. Whatever it is that you're really passionate about, whatever cause it is, whatever issue you want to solve, just take the step. Things like NLC and going through Institute help you, and they help equip you with the skills and the network and a lot of the things that you need. But regardless of whether you've done that or not, you still have to take the first step.
Absolutely. So stay with me.
Sure.
So how can individuals get involved or contribute to fostering the next generation of civic leaders?
Yeah, take that first step. Whether it's, bringing people along to events that they're going to, recruiting someone to go like door knock with you, or mm-hmm, whatever mm-hmm. community engagement things you are doing. Mm-hmm. I think that probably other people are interested in doing it, but are afraid to actually just go. And so bringing along your community, maybe reluctantly at first, but then, the more that they see things are making a difference and the positive impacts that, those little actions can have, I think that that's how we get more people with us and more moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And Amy, how has your own leadership style or perspective evolved through your work with New Leaders Council?
It really is what Aaron said. I didn't realize that I was able to just take that first step. Everything, having not worked in politics or I dropped out of college, this was all very unfamiliar territory for me. And seeing all these really cool people doing amazing things, I didn't realize that it was just taking the first step toward doing it, and it was possible. So just knowing that I can do it and being asked to be in the spaces where things are happening was one of the biggest changes. Just really seeing that there is supportive networks and it is possible, and not everything is huge and daunting and scary. It can be done. We just have to take the time and do the work.
Yeah, and I love what you are alluding to, and that is that everybody's journey is not the same, and that anybody can be a leader in their community. Anyone can be a civic leader at that. So, Noelle, and then in what ways can the NLC assist its members in navigating and influencing the political landscape even better than they're doing today?
As I've mentioned, we have a very strong alumni network of over 200 people. So anytime people are trying to get engaged or get plugged in, even if they're not an alum, they can always reach out to us and we will happily connect them with whatever they're trying to do to the right person. We pride ourselves on being able to make connections and build community. Just reach out and there's somebody who can help you.
I feel like that the New Leaders Council is all about connecting the dots. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And to continue our interviews with some of the participants from the New Leaders Council Kentucky Civic Supper, I am in the studio with this wonderful leader, Christian Motley. Christian, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, it's good to be here with you. Like you said, my name is Christian Motley. I live here in Lexington. In my day job, I work with a national nonprofit, Results for America. It's a bipartisan organization that is working to make using data and evidence for policy decision making the new normal for government leaders. But as a community member here in Lexington, you know, I wear a number of hats. I volunteer, but I also had the distinction of having been a past New Leaders Council co-director, and so I'm just so proud to be here today and to be having conversations with our new friends and some old friends this afternoon.
Well, from everything that I can see, your legacy is strong. It's very strong. So can you share a bit about your personal journey, a little bit more in depth, and what motivated you to become involved with the New Leaders Council in the first place?
You know, and I'm West Calden, Kentucky. I brought in, you know, I'm from Alabama. Originally, and I moved here to go to Berea College in Madison County. There are a few things that I think are important to say. Number one, I am the grandson of a woman named Jessie Mae McDade, the great-grandson of a gentleman by the name of Willie B. Arrington. Those were folks who were leaders, great leaders, that I had the chance to learn from as a young person growing up in Alabaster, Alabama. Folks who knocked on doors, who were civic leaders, and who believed that you give back to the community that you come from. When I got to Berea, I sort of took my own journey of understanding the role that I wanted to play, the change I wanted to see, and the role that I wanted to play in seeing that come to fruition. I left Berea and made Lexington my home, and I've been in town for about 15 years. And I feel so connected to this place. And as New Leaders Council, working with these great leaders, you know, New Leaders Council is about, it is about improving civic life here in our state, and the idea that we can do, we can make change, we can do big important things here in Kentucky. We ain't got to go anywhere else. We can build right here at home. And so being able to connect to this effort and connect to folks from across this state who want to be social change makers, who want to be the doers that make our communities better, no matter what their background is, no matter what zip code they come from, no matter the work that they do. They may be interested in political life. They may be interested in volunteering. They may take on leadership at home and in community. It may look different ways, but you know what we've always said in the New Leaders Council is that what matters is that you serve. And so, broadly, you know, I think my interest is in, you know, bringing community closer to government and improving civic life. You know, we're living in a time where there is so much to disagree about, mm-hmm. and so much division. Mm-hmm. And I love today's conversation because it's how can we disagree effectively?
Yes.
How can we perhaps disagree in a way that builds? Mm-hmm. I love this opportunity, and I've just had a great day.
Yeah. So what do you see then as the biggest challenges facing young leaders today, especially in the context of civic engagement and social justice?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the data, you know, we are living in a time where, you know, folks have less trust in our systems and institutions, and don't always believe that, you know, their vote matters. Mm-hmm. And don't believe that their leaders hear them. And so, you know, I think that's part of why it's so important that New Leaders Council exists. I think it's why it's so important that we are, you know, gathering for conversations like this, where we're thinking about, you know, what are the kind of questions and conversations that can lead us to justice? When I think about like the biggest challenge, it's that we all. And I don't even want to just focus this on young folks. We all need something to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to, you know, push that rock up the hill and know that there's a return on our investment. And so the more that we can do that, I think the better off we'll be.
So then how are young people going to overcome the challenges of disagreement that we are experiencing in our national leaders? And, I mean, we hear news stories that just make you say, how are new leaders going to overcome the obstacle of relationship building?
You know, I'll tell you my own personal experience. You know, I'm not a person who, again, I told you, you know, a little bit about my family and kind of the will to serve.
Yes.
But there's a journey I had to take on my own to understand what was important to me.
I love that so much.
And what service would look like. You know, I remember, you know, I was a freshman at Berea College. I think I'd been on campus maybe a week before the hurricane in New Orleans. And it was sometime, I think it was, you know, it's about 18 months later, folks were still going down to be a part of the relief effort. And, you know, I remember going down myself with other students from Berea. And I just remember being in the 7th Ward, standing at the levee and seeing all of the destruction that stood around and just asking myself the question of whose responsibility is this? And what I can be honest about is that there was a sense of anger and frustration. There was a lot of conversation at that time about the mayor and was it the mayor's fault? And, you know, you remember Kanye West on television asking, you know, saying George Bush does not care about black people. I think a lot of people were asking the question at the time of just who's responsible and what is the action that needs to take place to bring this community back. And, you know, I felt a kinship with folks there because, you know, I came from a place where we did not always have, you know, the resources that we may have wanted. We did not always have, you know, I just think about my neighbors, my community, my neighborhood. It's called the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, folks, when we walk out of the door, I just know that there's so many more opportunities to fail than to succeed. And so I felt a kinship. And when I came back, I just remember being on fire and I wanted to register everybody to vote.
Yep.
I wanted to talk about these issues. I remember, you know, elections were coming up, 2006, 2008, of course, the presidential election, Obama was elected. But I was excited because I went outside and I was volunteering, I was serving, I was having conversations, and I felt like I was seeing a return. So as a young person, that I was learning, mm-hmm. you know, what it looked like to, and I made mistakes. I wasn't always right when I was mm-hmm. having my discussions and debates mm-hmm. with fellow students. But I was out there being active. And so I think it's a two-parter. For young people, you know, you got to go outside and try.
Mm-hmm.
Have those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteer. Put yourself in spaces where you might learn on your own, you know, what service needs to look like for you and what civic life might look like for you. But for older folks, I think what we've got to do is not discourage that spirit. Know that we won't always agree with stuff that young folks come up with. I know even now there's folk older than me that don't always agree with what I have to say. But you can't stifle that fire.
Yeah.
And so we got to figure out what does it look like to coach, to support, to encourage, even when your style and your approach is not the way that I would approach things. And so I, whenever I talk to young folks, I'm always trying to encourage, just do more, practice, have those conversations, and just try to learn something along the way.
Well, when I think of civics, okay, and you ask the question, who's responsible? So I've been teaching political science and public policy for over 20 years. And it always is like, if you're pointing a finger at someone else, there's that thumb that's pointing back at you. So what I tell people is that everyone can be involved civically, even if that means picking up trash in your neighborhood or recycling or doing personal committed acts of service. Everyone can be a leader in their own right. And that in and of itself collectively will make society and the world so much better.
That's right.
So the New Leaders Council has an institute. And here in Kentucky, you are a legacy builder. And thank you for your service. But what are some of the key attributes to the leadership training that individuals will experience if they are lucky enough to be a part of the New Leaders Council?
Yeah, well, it's important to say, you know, and you may know this already, you know, the Institute happens over the course of 5 months each year. You have an Institute of Fellows, somewhere between, you know, 22 to 25 fellows. There was that 1 year I led where we had a few more. I got spanked on the hand. But those folks are coming from across the state. We are a statewide chapter. So folks are coming from Paducah all the way to Pikeville, as they say. And we get together once a month over the course of that time period. And each session is focused on a different topic and is in a different place. And so we try to take the opportunity, number one, to advance a curriculum that supports folks' ability to advance some sort of an initiative or a project that is important to them. I remember some past projects being, you know, one person said, you know, I want to run for office. I'm using this experience to help build my capacity to be able to do that. We had another person who was working on a book. So the activities will vary. Over the course of the Institute, we start with the first Institute, which is sort of a bit of grounding for the group where they're joining with each other. They're sharing their personal stories and thinking about how they want to leverage this opportunity. Beyond that, there are sessions around fundraising. You have a project. How do you raise funds for that project? Communications Institute. How do you communicate about that project? We have sessions that are focused on equity, focused on idea that along the way they're building the capacity to advance a project. Alongside the sort of curriculum itself is the opportunity to go around the state. And so we're not going to have every institute be in Lexington or be in Louisville. Kentucky is a wonderful and diverse place.
Yes, it is.
With stories that reach across geographies. And so, you know, you might have a session that's in Paducah 1 month, in, you know, one of my favorite small towns, Berea, another month. And yeah, we might hit Lexington or, you know, be in the capital or in Louisville along the way. But we want to make sure that fellows who come from across the state, in some cases, get to show off, you know, their part of town, their part of the state. In other cases, learn about other places to try to build a well-rounded experience. I've always loved not only New Leaders Council, but the fact that we are a statewide chapter, because there are many others who, you know, there are places that have large urban areas where, you know, you might just be in one city or another. But I think we have a unique experience as a part of our institute.
Excellent. And so finally, what has been the most rewarding part of your involvement with the NLC?
The most rewarding thing that I've seen in this program is two things. I would say, one, you know, NLC is this will be, I think, NLC's 11th year, if I'm not mistaken. And just the way that the program has grown and that how each class and each board, which is most often reflective of past alumni, just takes up the baton and grows the organization each year, I think is just incredible. And so I'm just proud to have been been a part of the lineage. Number two is to see the fellows themselves. And I will tell you that that fellow that said they wanted to run for office, they were in the state legislature.
Okay.
That person that said they wanted to write that book, they wrote that book.
What greater impact is that?
And is now writing curriculum and supporting educators in the state and across the country. I think that's the powerful thing. So, you know, you're not a snake oil salesman when you're talking about the benefits of the New Leaders Council. This is it's a community statewide. Folks get together. They know they're not alone and how they want to discuss and engage in civic life and make improvements for their community. But then to go and see them be successful years later and to support each other. Somebody starts a nonprofit, you often see NLC members or alumni who are part of that board or who are volunteering. Somebody's running for office, you see NLC alumni who are volunteering. And sometimes they might not even be for the same party, but they're trying to support each other because they met each other through this experience. They know each other with a depth, and they want to see each other be successful because they know if that person is successful from their class, then the community will be better for it. And that's something I'm incredibly proud of.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your reflections about the NLC and the NLC's community supper. And again, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
I'm in the studio with both Abir and Dexter. They are no strangers to the Ricochet Effect podcast. So, team, can you share a bit about your personal journey and what motivated you to become involved in the New Leaders Council in the first place?
Yeah. Well, thank you for the question, first of all, and thank you for hosting this event and allowing us to make it happen here at WUKY. Just a little bit about me and my journey with New Leaders Council. I found this organization in 2017 when I was still a grad student. And I was at the time looking for a community because I was living in Lexington. I'm from Louisville. The only people I knew in that city were people who I went to high school with. And while they're great, I think there comes a time in everyone's life where you just want to branch out and meet new people and be introduced to new ideas. And New Leaders Council found me, a community of people who had progressive politics, but who also weren't afraid to dive into local issues and embrace and engage individuals who didn't agree with them in order to make positive change, which as a young sort of, naive person who wanted to change the world, this was perfect for me. But I want to say what was not naive about that decision was that NLC ended up being the reason why I stayed in the Commonwealth, because I made so many great connections with local leaders. And it is one of the motivating reasons why I continue to volunteer in my community, because I love the people who I do this work with.
And Abir, so what motivated you to take part and engage in the New Leaders Council as you've had?
Ever since I was a kid, I've just been really amazed and engaged in the topic of leadership. Was a big history nerd, loved learning about U.S. presidents. I can still tell you all the presidents in order by their term. Won't do that now, podcast. I'll do that next episode.
Okay.
But was really inspired by them. My dad taught me a lot of lessons about following political leaders, about from Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, who was the father of Bangladesh, where my family is from, to people like leaders like John F. Kennedy here in the U.S. So that, like my personal history combined with lessons from my family about leadership and my upbringing as a Bengali American, has always driven me to really be engaged in leadership. I was very lucky. My school got an award from the governor of Kentucky one year when I was young. And I was like, oh, who is that gentleman? Like, oh, it's the governor of Kentucky. I'm like, oh man, like he came and like gave this to us. Like, I want to do that one day. So that's just always inspired me. I was very lucky to be engaged with leadership programs in college and all the activities I'd done. And yeah, when I moved back here to Kentucky for work, it's funny, like multiple people from mentors from back home in Eastern Kentucky to coworkers to my peer mentor, Dexter, who was my peer mentor at our office, were like, hey, you should try out this thing called New Leaders Council. And I'm like, oh, everyone's telling me about this. And I want to get engaged in progressive leadership here in Kentucky. And I just love leadership development. So I was like, yeah, like everyone's telling me to do this, I should go for it. And from there, I joined it and have just really loved being part of New Leaders Council, both as a fellow last year and on the board now. It's just been really amazing and really helped me grow a lot.
Well, wow, wow, wow. What an amazing event that we've had with the New Leaders Council Civic Supper. Today we've had just a group of really powerful people, both young and old, and maybe even new into civic leadership. Mm-hmm. But just give us a reflection on how you're feeling right now about the entire event.
So this was, our first ever Civic Supper. We feel like it went pretty well. We had two city councilors, leaders in the nonprofit realm, people who work in public policy, friends of ours who are more in the, younger activists as well. So it was really awesome to see them all just talking engaged, a really great progressive group. We're just really happy they enjoyed it. They had a really great conversation. We actually went overtime at the beginning on some stuff, but then on the last part, we're like, oh, we'll cut it short. But they're like, actually, they want to keep talking. So yeah, we kind of let them keep talking at the end for some of this stuff. We're really happy that they were comfortable engaging in these arguments about political issues. We're just really happy we got this group of people together, and we hope to continue engaging them and then people they work with and continue connecting them in the progressive community here in Lexington. And thinking ahead, we have another event happening in Louisville. We did learn some lessons, like, make sure that we do pick, good conversation topics, things that are divisive but also comfortable to talk about. We're really happy with how the event went today. People really enjoyed it and got some great networking happening and some really great conversations. I mean, I just learned so much, like thinking about the topics we talked about, things that I hadn't talked about, and these are topics that I thought I knew a lot about. But just really happy to meet the people here and just really connect with these cross-sector leaders here in Lexington.
Yeah, I would echo everything that Abir just said. In a weird way, it reminded me of the best memories that I have with friends, sitting around maybe a bonfire, hanging out and just sort of talking about the issues that are affecting our lives, but in a way that is enriching and educational, but, does not stray from being emotional and real and authentic. What made that weird, though, was because most of the people in the room are not people who I know very well. And yet we were able to make those connections quickly in a way that I felt was meaningful, and then still have conversations that were enriching and that were emotional and impactful. And we did that all in the span of, 3.5 hours?
Yeah.
So, in that regard, I think it was very successful. I heard one member who was on the younger end, as she was walking out, say that she appreciated that it gave her the opportunity to practice just speaking her mind in front of people who she knows are maybe more wizened than her in years and sort of more experienced than her in terms of their title in society, which is exactly what we wanted as well. We want this to be a space where, regardless of who you are every day, you have the opportunity to be on equal playing field with someone else, your ideas on any topic being just as important as theirs, because that's where the learning comes in, is when we treat each other with that mutual respect. And I think we nailed it. And I'm excited for the next
too.
One. Thank you.
Yeah. So what's next? I heard you say that there was going to be another New Leaders Council Supper in Louisville. So are you expecting the same? Are you going to take what you've learned from this one and pivot? What's next?
Yeah. So we have our next one on Saturday, June 29th in Louisville at the new Norton Goodwill Center there. We already have a great guest list, still looking for more people. But yeah, it'll be kind of the same types of groups. We have a city council member hopefully attending. I think we'll have a bit more young activists there, so that'll be great. I think in Louisville, yeah, we're thinking about what topic we want to talk about there, because I think one of the topics today, we got a great conversation, but didn't have as much disagreement as we'd hoped. So we're going to think about that, make sure, we pick something that there is a disagreement about in the progressive community. But yeah, we're really looking forward to that. I think in Louisville, there is a bigger, I don't want to say a bigger progressive community, a bigger traditionally progressive community. I think that there is quite a notable progressive community in Kentucky that we don't recognize, but I can get into that philosophy another day about views of progressivism. But we have a lot of engagement there already. But yeah, I want to get some of the same types of people. We'll probably have a bit more of our NLC alumni there, given that just Louisville's where we have more alumni. But with that, we're thinking about that long term too, that hopefully we can get other alumni engaged in other events. If the Louisville one goes well, we want to keep this happening in Lexington and in Louisville, but also in other parts of the state. I want to bring this back home to Eastern Kentucky, whether the same version of the Civic Supper, maybe something a bit different. We want to make sure it's something we can spread across the state as well. So we're really looking forward to that, to our next Louisville event. Got to focus on that first, but from there, we're going to have, maybe one day all 120 counties in Kentucky. We'll maybe get for that one day.
Well, I just asked for economic development that you bring that Civic Supper to Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Definitely want to continue it here for sure.
All right. Well, Dexter and Abir, thank you for your civic leadership and service. And so the purpose of this edition is to provide a comprehensive understanding of the New Leaders Council's mission, the challenges and opportunities in civic leadership, and the personal insights of those involved in nurturing the next generation of leaders. For more information about the New Leaders Council Kentucky, please visit newleaderscouncil.org. Stay informed, stay empowered. Well, we've come to the close of another amazing podcast. I'd like to thank our listeners. I'd like to thank our guest. And as we say here at WKY, we can't do it without our community. And just keep in mind that DEIB is the DNA of humanity. It's the Ricochet Effect, Ricochet Effect.